Now listen, I want to give you a second message. And this one's going to be hard. This might be harder than talking about my mother. I'm back in Ohio. Once I was there for a wedding, I wasn't supposed to be. I'm like, man, I hate to go leave again, but we'd already said we'd be at this wedding. And all of a sudden, my mom's in the nursing home. I come to band practice, and I was getting ready to come Sunday. I was glad that I was home, you know, and I get a call from the nursing home, and they told me that they're going to release my mom. Well, the insurance company was kicking her out. You know how that works. And I was like, ooh, I'm not sure she's ready. And I still got things to do in her house, just a cluttered little house, and she lives there with my, I got a nephew in there too. But anyways, man, I wasn't at peace. I was like, man, I can't go back to Ohio. I got things to do. Matter of fact, I got surgery the next week on my shoulder. And I'd already had my labs, my EKG, x-rays, went through all that. Primary doctors is good, you know, so everything's good. And I'm not at peace. I'm not at peace. I'm like, you know, my mom's going to get out of this nursing home. I'm not going to be able to do anything with my shoulder. It's a rotator, so I'm just going to be really, really tied up for 6 weeks and then tied up as far as a lot of movement even after that. But anyways, I'm in my office. And you ever get a prompting from the Lord? Like you hear his voice? Yeah, we read his word and he speaks to us. But it was just like clear as day. I just heard, cancel your surgery. I've been waiting on this. I'm hindered, man. This thing's hindering me, man. I can't fight like I used to fight, you know. I'm not good with the left as well as the right. So I was like, well, what do I do? And finally, I talked to my wife and made the decision. And we're on our way back from Ohio to this wedding. And I canceled it. And I canceled my surgery over a prompting. The one thing that bothered me is we have insurance. It's not the greatest, but they said, well, now you got to do all the labs, EKG, x-ray again. We're, you know, out of pocket. We don't have, haven't met our deductible. So I'm like, well, I'm getting in debt more, you know, so I didn't want to do all that. And the good news is I just want to share this part that by the grace of God, they just said, hey, if we can get you at the end of June. And by the way, I'm preaching a church camp too. I didn't want to go to camp in a sling either with the big puffy thing and a sling. You've seen Bob. We've seen several people in this church. Jason Cook. We've seen Jason Cook. I don't want to look like Jason Cook. Walk around here like this for a month, you know. And they told me, they said, EKG, x-ray, we're good, but we just want you to do a little lab, see the doctor again. And I was like, so praise the Lord on that, right? But I just want you to know that all came through a prompting. I want to speak to you today on something. I want to speak to you on, if I could title the message, it would just be called The Whisper of God. When God would prompt you to do something. Now listen, we're Bible people. I don't listen for God's voice audibly. The Holy Spirit lives inside me because I know Christ. God's word speaks to me. I'm in it every day and let him speak and change my mind. So many people know the Lord. We know him as what? He's the sovereign creator. Most people never get to know him as an intimate shepherd, where you have intimacy and he whispers to you and you hear. He becomes an usher, like a guide in your life. I used to experience this more in my life. I would often hear God speak to me and prompt me to do something, and I would do it. Folks, do you realize if you don't hear God's whisper, it don't mean that he's not speaking? It probably just means you're not close. You got to be close to hear a whisper. And I feel like maybe I've went downhill a little bit there. And I'll get to where I'm going and tell you what led me on this message. I believe there's something important, more important than talking with God. Everybody wants to pray. And I think we need to listen to God. Everybody can talk to him, but not very many people are listening. We're not getting answers from him. Or we get into his word, but we don't hear him prompting us to do anything. Intimacy is the key. It's the key to hear the whisper. That's the key to it all. There's a passage in 1 Kings 19, and I would like to look at this one, in 1 Kings chapter 19. And those of you that have been saved for a while, you're going to be like, oh, I remember this. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I would just like to look at verse 11 and 12. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. And it says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A whisper. God was in the whisper. Some people would say, God ain't speaking to me. Well, it's because you're waiting for an earthquake. Sometimes he's speaking and you're just not intimate enough. You can't hear him. You're not close enough. It's the still small voice that he wants to give, that he's trying to get our attention. You know, people might think you're crazy, but to hear the whisper of God, for God to prompt you and move your feet and to make changes in your life, most people ain't in tune to this. We're a Bible people. I'm not talking about being freaky, getting out of the Bible and expecting God to speak to you. God, show me a sign. Give me a dream. You know, people do that all the time and they're missing out. God's given you his word. He's going to speak to you. You got to be in his word. So just to let you know, God will never whisper anything in your ear that ever goes against this book. That's not him or wickedness. I had a lady come into my office one time and told her God told her to leave her husband. I'm like, the problem with that is you're contradicting the Bible. I know what God thinks on this subject. And it's not like something crazy was going on either. She was honestly just had another fling. That's what it really ended up being. God's in that. God ain't in that. You got to discern sometimes. I'm not just saying you have a prompting, and every time you have a prompting, that's God. Because I've messed up in my life and done that before, too. End up somewhere, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I forgot my pants. You know, that's a weird feeling. Yeah. There's a saying that says this. Those who dance are thought mad by those who do not hear the music. Those who dance are thought mad by those who do not hear the music. Guys, I want to talk to you about God whispering and you following. You hear God's word and you take heed. He speaks to you and prompts you and you listen. You know, some people don't hear. Some of you are sitting here like, I don't know what that's like for God to prompt me. And what's being revealed today is because you're not intimate with him. You control every asset of your life. That's what's the problem. That's why Jesus says these words, your heart's waxed gross and your ears are dull of hearing. You're not getting it. It's not that God's not, well, God don't speak to me. Listen here, sister. God's speaking. Your heart's waxed gross. I like how it deals with hearing next after talking about a heart waxed gross, because you think of a waxy ear, you know, like it's plugged. You ain't hearing, you know. Remember Samuel in 1 Samuel 3? God's coming down to him and he don't know it's God. You know, I want you to know some people are not hearing. I think there's some people that listen to the wrong voice. Do you guys remember Israel? They're supposed to go over to the promised land. The spies come back. God tells them to go. God made it clear to go. Caleb and Joshua are leading the march to go. Everybody come back and goes, oh my gosh, there's giants in the land. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in the book of Numbers that night everybody went to bed and cried. You know why? They listened to the wrong voice. They listen to the wrong voice. They listen to the majority. They listen to the loudest. That's not always our God. So some don't hear. Some listen to the wrong voice. And some Some hear, but they don't obey. Jeremiah 11, man, that prophet gets on him in this passage. Jeremiah 11, 7 through 8, and he just says, you've heard and you obey not. God clearly said it and you will not do it. So there are people that you hear it, you're just not willing to do it. You know why? Guys, I think we know that. When God prompts you to do something, it's usually because you're not doing something you should. And it's uncomfortable. He'll prompt you to say something. We've all probably been prompted, and you've heard God's spirit before. Like, you know, you say something to somebody, and you might have an inkling that you hurt their feelings, and the spirit of God will say, hey, make that right. But as a man, I'm not going to go up and say, hey, dude, man, I shouldn't have said that to you. That just seems like weak, doesn't it? Well, it's actually not. We think it is in our human nature. But you go to God's word, and his spirit says, no, that's what men do. We obey the promptings of God. We get that stuff right. That's what you do when God prompts you to, you're going this direction, he prompts you to go this direction. We don't do it. I was working two jobs one time, making pretty good money. And you know what God said to me? I was reading his word, and there was a verse about a log being burnt on both ends and it burns up in the middle. The Holy Spirit of God whispered before I went to bed that night and said, you're burning up, boy. You're burning yourself up. God whispered that night and told me to quit my job. You know what I did the next morning? I quit one of those jobs because I had to have a job. I need to pay some bills for sure. But most people don't obey those promptings because they'd sit back and what do? When God prompts us, you weigh the consequences. Well, how am I going to do this? We got to have money. We got to do this though. Got to do that. The kids need this. You start thinking through it and weighing the consequences. And you've heard me say it before. When God prompts you to do anything, don't weigh the consequences. Obey. Because if God orders it, he's going to pay for it. But some of us, now sin, it's different. You better weigh the consequences. It's going to bite you. It's going to bite you hard. I want to be John chapter 10 and verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow. Could I encourage somebody in this room to start listening to the whispers of God? Start walking in the Spirit of God, getting in God's Word, and when He prompts you to do something, just take heed. Just obey. Hey, who's going to do VBS decorations this year? Bo's not in charge anymore of that. Who's going to do Vacation Bible School decorations? Nobody's speaking up. Nobody stepped up to the plate. And it was Zach Fridley that said, hey, God spoke to me and told me to do that. He heard the whisper of God. And this year, Zach Fridley's in charge of Vacation Bible School decorating. It's not easy. Zach's not even a loud leader. He's not like a demanding guy that's going to allow and take control of a room. I mean, he don't do that. We know Zach. But Zach can't deny that he heard a whisper of God. He heard God speak to him. It was on May 10th that I was at an airport in Charlotte and I got stuck. There's 30 passengers trying to get back to Peoria, Illinois. All 30 of us are stuck in an area, and it kept getting delayed. We're supposed to fly out at 7. They said, now it's 8:30, 8, 9:30. Then it's going to be 10:30. All of a sudden, it's 11 o'clock, and there was still hope that the flight's coming from Indiana. But the crew can't fly past 4 o'clock, so we got to get you back by 4 in the morning, or they're illegal. They can't fly illegally. All this is happening. And craziness. Finally, the flight came back, and there was one lady on the flight that said, I can't. I've been doing this now for so many hours. And they're like, sorry, flight canceled. In the morning, they was going to fly us out. We got on an airplane, sat out on the runway, and we're out there, and they call us back in. We sat in that plane for an hour, and they took us back off of it, and they canceled that flight because of an electric problem, you know. One thing after another, and that's when I had Bo preach the book of Matthew. But I want to tell you my journey that night because God kept whispering all night long to me. At first, I'm in this airport, and there's 30 of us, and we're not all sitting together. I don't know most of these people, so we're all wherever we want to be. You know, you're eating at the airport, getting coffee, going over here, sitting where there's nobody. You like to get away from people and all that. And all of a sudden, everybody's now got phone issues. They're trying to charge their phone. Most people are thinking, I got a flight. My phone holds a good charge for a while. Well, you know, in my book bag, I got a battery. And it just charges right off of there. You know, some people, you can go buy a charger at the airport for $37.92, you know. There was a girl looking for an outlet. There was construction in Charlotte in this area, and even the outlets weren't there. Some of them were taped up, and so they were redoing this area. And you know, the Spirit of God whispered to me. There was this young girl, and she was looking, and I could tell she was needing her phone, and the Spirit of the Lord whispered and just said, hey man, offer some help. You got a charger there, just offer it to people. Well, I said, most people got chargers. There's got to be somewhere in this airport. And two, this particular young girl that was looking for a deal, I was like, man, she's a young girl. I'm 56 years old. This is kind of weird. And I just sort of weigh in the consequences of that, and I just kind of talked myself out of it. You ever hear God whisper and tell you to help somebody on the side of the road, and you say, everybody's got cell phones today. They're not going to take my help. I mean, why would I do that? It'd be different if it was old days, I'd stop and help. And you ignore that prompting. I've done it before. So I shut that down. Just a phone, right? I connected with one guy on this flight really well. Like, he's telling me why he's going to Peoria. He don't even live around here. His sister lives outside of Peoria. And real nice guy, me and him really. And he looked sharp. I could tell, man, this guy is wearing a $600 suit coat, man. Them shoes he was wearing, I was like, now them some shoes right there you got on, my friend. And you could just tell, man, this guy was a wealthy individual. If not, he was a great actor. You know what the Spirit of God said to me? And me and him connected real well. Like, they gave us hotel rooms. You want a hotel room? And he comes to me and goes, hey, what are you doing, partner? I said, as late as it is now, it's 1 a.m. What am I going to do? Sleep for 3 hours and get back up? They want to get out, go through all the dank checkouts again and all through the rigmarole at the airport. I said, I'm not leaving. I mean, you're going to waste 2 hours just messing around. He goes, that's the same thing as I'm just going to sleep here. So me and him made a decision, not that we were going to sleep together. We made a decision that we were going to stay at the airport, you know. And so, you know what the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit whispered in my ear and said, you got to tell this guy about me. So I'm sitting with him, you know, and hoping things will come up. And he's like, well, man, I don't have nothing to do. My sister, I'm just going to spend 3 days with my sister. And, well, I was supposed to preach. I mean, I had an open door. I mean, I could tell, yeah, but I'm going to miss preaching. You know, I got to get somebody else to do, you know. And so I convinced myself, like, well, maybe if this guy asks me a specific question, I'll do it. Like, God, I don't feel like the door's opened up. And guys, I was justifying it because God already opened the door. He spoke to me in a whisper and told me to share Jesus with this guy. Before it was over, he's over there, kicked back with his eyes closed. And I just thought, maybe I'll do that in the morning. And so I just ignored the whisper. I'm finally sitting with my phone, and I get the UFC. There was two belt fights that night for the UFC. And I was like, oh, I can get them on Paramount. I got them rigged up on my phone. I'm watching these fights in the airport. There's a girl. She's traveling alone. I'm guessing she was 15 years old. I could tell she didn't have any money because her clothes looked nothing like this guy's clothes. She looked really kind of poor. And when they kept canceling flights, she'd get on her phone. I kept hearing her talk to somebody saying, I'm not going to be there. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, people would go eat at restaurants. They'd go get some food, go get some burgers, come back with fries. Everybody was doing that business. I go get myself a cup of coffee, sit back, and there's 30 of us, you know, and we can kind of see each other, but we're separating and coming back together, separating, coming back, going to, okay, now we're at gate 11, so everybody's running to gate 11, you know, all this is happening, we're all together, and, you know, she came really close to me to plug her phone into this outlet behind me as I'm watching these fights, and the Spirit of the Lord whispered to me, he said, you need to take care of her. You notice she hasn't ate anything. She hasn't drank anything. You need to feed her. My first thought was, she's going to think I'm hitting on her. And she was nothing to hit on, I'll just tell you the truth. But I thought, you know what other people's going to think? Here's a 56-year-old guy. What's he doing over there with the young girl all by herself? I'm going to look like a dang predator. You know? So, I didn't want to look like a fool because, you know, I am a Christian man. So, I just let her go hungry. I ate. I drank some coffee. But God's Spirit spoke to me. And I began to be miserable because I kept hearing him say something and I just never took heed to it. Because it's so hard. As I'm sitting there watching these fights, it's getting to the last fight close to it, and it's going to be a whopper, man. This is like everybody's anticipating this fight. These guys hate each other. Like, it's going to be violent, man. And I'm watching it on my phone, and I realize, oh, I got a tablet. And in that moment, I look around. Most people are dozing off. It's pretty late at night. It's probably close to 11 o'clock, something like that. Matter of fact, there it was midnight. But everybody's still up because we're anticipating getting out of this airport still. And you know, the Holy Spirit of God, he prompted, you know, he whispered to me, clear as a bell. He whispered to me. He said, put that championship fight on your tablet and invite these guys to join you in watching this championship fight. I bet there'll be four guys in this crowd that'll come over and you guys can get around that tablet and watch this fight together. That'd be fun. Fights are always fun when you're with other people, right? And I'm just like, you know, not everybody's into the fights. And you know what's going to be really weird is I was like, hey, gang, man, there's a great fight on right now. Strickland's getting ready to fight, man. Like, let's go. Come gather around here. Let's watch this thing together. You know, what would I do if nobody stood up? You know, would I feel stupid? What am I going to do, talk a 15-year-old girl into watching it with me? Like, so you know what I did? I did nothing. The fight had the outcome I wanted. Matter of fact, at one point, I was jerking, like, you know, when it's tense and tight, and I was excited. I even got on my seat at that fight ended, and he won. I was walking around. They were probably thinking, what's wrong with him? You know. And I ignored the whisper of God. It gets worse, guys. All the food venues are shutting down. There's the only places open now are convenience stores. Like places where you got to go and buy $7 for, you know, Coke in the bottle. You know, there's Doritos there if you want to pay $5.36 for a small bet. I mean, it was, you know, airport food. I'm watching places close down. Everybody's getting the munchies. It's getting late at night. You know, some people are dozing off and sleeping. A lot of us are still up, and everybody's watching their phones just like I was doing. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God whispered to me. He told me, he said, hey, go down there and buy food for everybody. Buy chips and cookies and buy a bottle of pop for these 30 people. There's only 30. In my mind, I started adding up the cost. I'm like, this is going to be $300 to $400. I thought, I don't know if I have that. I guess I could use my credit card. And I'm sitting around weighing the consequence of this. I'm like, that's going to take a serious amount of money. I kept thinking, man, if I went around and gave I read a story about this years ago about a guy, and basically they were stuck in at Christmas time, and this guy fed some people, and then by the time it was over, like, this guy was sharing Jesus with people, and when he got on the flight, they even let him get on the intercom, and they said, are you that guy that fed everybody? We heard about this. He got on the intercom, and he was able to tell everybody he's enjoying being with them, stuck with them together, and he was able to give some glory to Jesus. I thought of that story I read. And that's when the Spirit of God said, be that guy. I want you to feed these people. And I talked myself out of not spending $400 because most people, and some people have more money than me, like, what am I going to do? So, guys, I shut it down. I shut the prompting of God down in my life. And I know He's a sovereign creator, Lord of the universe. But I was not about to let Him shepherd my life. He was trying to whisper to me, and I was getting away from Him. It gets worse. The night's getting late. We're now into the morning hours. I kept catching eyes with the lady sitting over. She was with a group of people. I kept catching her eye, and I'm like, I know this lady. Have I dated her before? You know. And next thing you know, I go over, and I'm walking by, and she stands up, and she goes, "Hey, Mike." I was like, "Hey." She goes, "You don't remember me." And I said, "I'm sorry, man, I don't." She said, "I work with your wife." I said, "I know you now. I knew you. I said, but I couldn't put it all together. I noticed there was three young girls traveling with her and their family. And they had shirts on that said, Live Like Mason. And I was like, huh. They must have been friends with that kid that tragically passed away. And I called Becky. I said, "Hey, man, your coworker's stuck here with me." She says, "Oh, Mike, she's the mother of Mason." Man, whew. By the time the clock went past midnight, and now the Spirit of God is letting me know something. It's now Mother's Day. This is her first Mother's Day without her boy. The dad was there too. I didn't connect with him as well. I mean, I wanted to, you know, but I'm not listening very well at this point in my life. And the Spirit of God whispered and said, "You almost lost your daughter. I want you to go over there and tell them. I want you to minister to their hearts." I kept waiting for the right timing. I really planned on doing something. I thought, man, what if I offend them? Here's a stranger. They're trying to get away, obviously going on a little bit of vacation. I heard what they were talking about, the fun they had. And now I'm going to go and bring up their son. So it just started getting uncomfortable when I started thinking about it. So I just began to live my life like God didn't whisper to me. I said nothing. I got on that plane and came back to Peoria, and we all waved at each other, all these 30 people that we were hanging with. God had been whispering, saying, "Would you do something? I keep giving you opportunities. Would you do something?" I knew it was going to cost me. I kept talking myself out of it. It is 8 o'clock in the morning. We just got kicked out of another airplane, and we're waiting for the last flight. Over the announcements of the airport says, "We are doing an interfaith prayer chapel service," and they named a place at the airport. If anybody's at the airport, the one that joins us for this interfaith chapel service. Well, guys, my daughter, when she got cancer, I was at the hospital. It was Easter Sunday morning. We're at the hospital. And I had my guitar in the truck. Did you know Josie's in there struggling, and the Spirit of God whispered to me and said, "Go get your guitar and hold church service on the floor." I immediately ran out of the room, went down the elevators, ran to my truck, grabbed my guitar, came out. Becky's like, "What's up?" And I was like, "I'm going to do church out in the hallway." And here out at St. Jude's, I'm out in the hallway, and I just start singing Jesus songs. People started coming out of their rooms. Doctors and nurses would walk by and stand there just for... I sang like 3 songs, and then I preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that there is hope, because we were filled with death on this floor. It went so well that I was like, hey, that other end ain't the cancer ward, but it's the children's. So I walked down to the other end, and I just did it all over again. One mom at the end came over. I mean, we had grandmas coming, putting their little kids. One kid had that tumor in his belly. Remember that? Matter of fact, during the church service I did, Josie held that little boy. And he had a tumor so big he looked pregnant. He was just a little boy, hardly able to walk. And he's sitting there. One mom thanked me afterwards. She goes, I want to thank you because my kid hasn't been out of his bed and out of his room. They keep trying to get him to walk, to get out here, and he won't do it. He's so sick. He heard music and said, Mom, I got to go hear that. He came right out and he heard the message of Jesus Christ. It was a couple days later I got to pray with their family. Like, I mean, God really used it because God whispered to me and I knew it. They announced that interfaith service. Not the interfaith service. What's that mean? Everything? That's bachelor cooking. That's what interfaith means. You're going to take every little thing, a little bit of everything, and throw it in a pot and heat it up. You know what that is? That's bachelor food. You can't serve that at a restaurant because it ain't very good. You got to make everybody happy, right? And so I'm sitting there and they announce that. And as soon as they announce it, the same voice at St. Jude's Hospital spoke to me again and said, Preacher, it's your time. Hold a church service over at Gate 5. There's nobody over there. I knew I was supposed to stand up and say, hey guys, I'm a pastor. I'm going to do a 10, 12 minute church service right over there at Gate 5 in 15 minutes. See you there. I don't know who would have came. By this point, on this whole journey, I literally told God, I said, hey God, I don't have it in me. I had my message for Matthew ready to go, right in my day planner. I had it with me. I had things to say. I know Jesus. I got that message, the good news. There's some good news. Not that we're going to get on the next flight, but I know the flight, the only flight that's going to eternal life, and it's the ticket, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. I know that. And the Spirit prompted me through a whisper. Guys, I'm just here to tell you, 7 times on that night, the Spirit of God whispered to me and said, I'm looking for a man, and it's you. And I kept shutting it down. The promptings of God. I'm not trying to be a weirdo. I normally take you to a passage of scripture and we preach scripture. That's what I normally do. That's what we do. And yet I'm overwhelmed with my life in the last month. And God made it clear instead of the gospel of John. One, I'm going to bring some honor to my mom. And I wanted to teach what we need to be responsible Christians in a world that don't take care of their parents. We need to step up and do that. And then God made it very clear to me that, Mike, I clearly said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. He clearly says it in the Bible. When the Spirit of God moves, don't quench it. Seven times, He made it clear what I was supposed to do. And I shut Him down. What could have happened that night? If out of every one of those promptings, if I would have obeyed. You know, sometimes God speaks to you in church and He just whispers and says, you need to talk to somebody today. You need to stand up. You need to get help here. You're falling again and you know it. You're not saying anything. He gives you that whisper and promptings. And how many times do we just ignore it? Because it's so difficult. It's so hard. Church, the Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, yet riseth again. I'm on my feet again today. And I'm begging God to whisper to me. Just speak to me. God, you tell me to do it, and I'll do it. If nobody else will, I'll do it. I want to be so intimate with God that I don't miss those whispers. Because guys, I'm telling you, you know what will happen eventually if we don't take heed, like John says. Here, my sheep hear my voice and then they follow me. You hear, then take heed. Hear, take heed. Some of you don't even hear anymore. You know why? You're seared. He don't prompt your heart anymore. You've got all the answers. You have no intimacy with the Lord. It's not sweet anymore. Now He don't trust you because He knows you're not going to do it. And I'm telling you what, I lived in fear for a couple of days after that trip. I was like, God, you got to do something in me. Please, God, speak to me. Then I was challenging him. Give me something hard to do and I'll do it. Show me somebody to fight that I can't win and I'll fight them. Like, I'm seriously, I'm praying like, God, please whisper to me. Whisper to me. And the key is, God says, just get close to me. Just get close. Just be intimate. And it's not over. So, Zach Fridley, I want to thank you for listening to the whisper of God. When God tells you at work to speak to somebody and put your hand on them and touch them, tell them about Jesus, do not ignore that whisper. When God prompts you to do something, the Holy Spirit says, walking in the Spirit of God. We can't be in the Bible all day long. You got stuff to do. So you know what God does? He takes His Word that you put inside, His Spirit's inside, and He'll use that and often give you promptings to obey. You need to be there. Talk to them. Start this. Do that. Make this phone call. And when He prompts you, and guess what? This morning, I'm in my kitchen getting a cup of coffee early. I took a little walk, and I was sitting on my front porch just praying over my message today. I get out there, and on the refrigerator is a picture of John Mark Ziegler. The Spirit of God said, let him know today that you're praying for him and thinking about him. And I immediately took a picture of that on my fridge, and I said, dude, you've made my refrigerator. I love you guys. I hope things are good. I go out, come back. Blade Spies is on there, and he says, Blade's got to preach this morning. Got that young family new down in St. Louis. You think they got a big crowd of people? Why don't you? I did not ignore the promptings. And I want you to know, sitting in my office after that failure of that night of that flight that I missed, I sat in my office, or it wasn't my office, it actually started in the car. And the Spirit of God prompted me and just said, cancel your surgery. I was fighting it. It didn't feel good to me at all. I get home, my mom's like, I'm so thankful you canceled your surgery. I was able to get her taken care of. I get to go to this camp unhindered. I'm like, praise the Lord, it's all right. Do I need the surgery? Yeah, we've been praying about it for a while. You guys have been praying with me about it. I'm going to get that surgery. But I just want you to know, I'm not going to ignore the promptings anymore. And I just want to encourage you today. I hope you can learn from this failed pastor up here that life stinks when you quench his spirit. By the time that flight ended, I had no purpose. And by the way, it was right around my birthday. My birthday's May 7th, so a couple days before that, I'm doing things on my birthday in the nursing home that I didn't want to do. Quite frankly, it was one of the worst birthdays I've experienced. Not that my family didn't make it good and do what they can. I don't want to put pressure on them. But I'm just wanting to tell you that. And then the 10th happened. Then I went through all of that. I was just in a bad spot. I've noticed this. If God can trust you, He's going to whisper to you. If He knows you'll take heed, He's going to speak to you. Some people have all these opportunities. And I'm like, how does that work for her? How does that work for him? Because she's hearing the whisper of God. She's obeying it.